Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, and we're here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clockistan out on the Paris Pike. And freezing our hineys off this morning. Yesterday we were putting on sunblock, but this morning it's been chilly. About a page of works. Had more works yesterday. Everybody was expecting more rain than we got, I think. So we need more rain. But we've been having pretty good luck. It's not luck. We got some good trainers out here. Since we talked to you last, last Saturday, we've had 13 winners from the Thoroughbred Center. That means 20 on the month so far. 20 winners in 13 days. Pretty good. Let's see. Kellen Gorder. Let me read them off to you. Eduardo Caramori. Matt Frazier sent Fritaville down to Remington. She won the $50,000 Distaff Claiming Stakes. Fritaville, of course, a quarter horse. Belongs to the Gentry Farms. Let's see who else here. Scooter Hughes had...
Honey Lamb.
Honey Lamb Hughes. His wife put up...
Put that on Facebook.
Put it up on Facebook.
Said, up. Made my morning.
Says, my sweet Honey Lamb had two winners last night at the Indiana Dam. So Honey Lamb, alias Byron G. Hughes, or Scooter, had two winners at Indiana Dams one night. Brenda Hill, Kellen Gorder, Akiko Gothard, Bobby Sturgeon, Amalio Paul Garcia, John Booker, Tommy Mills, and Akiko Gothard. Akiko had two down at the River. The River Downs opened up. They knocked them dead down there. We had one, two, three, four winners at River Downs yesterday, opening day. And
I like River Downs.
Oh, I love
it's
River Downs.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
Ice cream and brats and beer.
Yeah, the tracks are great.
If I drink beer.
You know, you go down there and you park for free. And
no admission.
No admission.
And they get your money. What you lose in peanuts, you make up in popcorn.
Whatever, but it's a fun trip.
Jimmy Dimon used to say that all the time.
Yeah, well, Jimmy used to say a lot.
Yeah, that made sense.
Let me see what we're going to do today. Jackie Bernard's coming in. Jackie owns and operates the Wycliffe Veterinary Pharmacy. She founded that thing, you know.
Yeah, it's a compounding pharmacy. It's very interesting.
Yeah, we'll see what give it.
All pills are not created equal.
When we first met Jackie, we were she was training out here at the Thoroughbred Center.
How come you never call me Honey Lamb? Oh, go on. Anyway, she was training out here.
Yeah, and she's married to Dr. Bill Bernard, who is his facility over there, his vet's facility. Something just fell down over there. That's what...
Surprise, surprise. Something fell down in here.
Hey, that's like...
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
It's like dust in my house. Shocked.
Anyway, Dr. Bill Bernard has his vet's facility in the same location as the Wycliffe Pharmacy. So
handy.
Very handy. Dr. Doug Byers will be here, hopefully. I haven't heard from him. He usually lets me know when he isn't. Michael Blowen from Old Friends. Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicap Sheet. And let's see, I got something I'm going to do with Joe Palmer. I'm looking at three rolls of 1957. I'm going to look at Bo Luller. They're running the Peter Pan Handicap up in New York today, and we've got Jackie's announcements. You want to start with those announcements?
Sure, I can.
All right. Why don't you?
This is kind of interesting. High Hope Steeplechase course is a week from tomorrow, the day after the Preakness, and they are going to name a race in the memory of Bill O'Neill.
Yeah, Bill was a great guy.
Yeah. And they're going to do the jockey school race, the Chris McCarron jockey race for the apprentices. And, of course, Chris always rides and wins.
They've been over there practicing the last couple of days.
Have they?
Yeah,
they got the outside rail put back up.
They rode yesterday.
Did they ride yesterday?
They won a race yesterday.
Oh, okay. A press conference. Well, that's nice. But anyway, if you want to donate to that.
Who rode race yesterday, Rassi? The kids?
The kids.
The kids, yeah. So they went over and had a practice run. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I got a call from, I'll think of his name in a minute, Mark. Never mind. Mark, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I used to do the preferred tailgating over there. And it's, you know, I haven't done it since Betsy got hurt. I just don't have the time. But he called and said they took the outside rail down when they did the World Equestrian Games. So they were trying to figure out where you start parking space number 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, on up to 40, 50, whatever it is. Well. And I said, well, it's kind of, you know, I didn't, and then I got to thinking about it. And there's a family that has had the rail space with a tree for years. I said, you better back up and find out who's got that tree. Because if they don't get that tree,
you're
a dead man. So mark the tree spot and then go, you know, down and up from there. But anyway.
I think they ruled you off out there, didn't they?
No.
Well, you were driving around one of those cars. Somebody gave you a bottle of champagne. You almost ran down three little old ladies.
Well, I'm just helping Obama's Medicare. Come on. Oh, I'm just giving him a hand here. Wipe out a few old people.
Right.
Anyway, if you want to donate to the Bill O'Neill Chris McCarron Jockey Race, you just send them, call them, call the horse park, and they'll put you up to the Secretariat Center, which is kind of doing it. They were also thinking about doing one in honor of David Mullins.
Well, they should.
So, yeah, he did so much for that. He did just so much for Riding for Hope. And, you know, Betsy goes out there once a week, and I find out more about just what he did. Mm-hmm. And coming up is their big fundraiser this summer, so we got to pay attention and get somebody from there to come over and talk about it, because they have the kids do stuff. The kids are actually on ponies, and, you know, it's a real nice thing. I think they sort of auction the kids, you know how you do with a Calcutta. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they kind of do that sort of thing. So it's, anyway, it's a good deal. Here's another good one. This Alltech company, what's his name? Dr. What? Dr.
Pierce Lyons.
Heard about the, you know, National Horse Show has moved from New York. I mean, it was the toniest thing for years and years and years. Kind of fell on hard times. Moving to the horse park this November. This guy has given $600,000 in prize money. Putting this thing back on the map.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Good for him. I mean,
he's selling a lot of something over there.
I'm here to tell you, and it's not horse stuff. It's other stuff. The only horse thing he's got is that supplement I gave that filly, and that was wonderful. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. It's right now. But that's just tremendous. $600,000. I think it's terrific. Anyway, here comes Honey and Lamb up here. You want to talk about the KTA real quick?
Oh, yeah, I'll do that, and then I'll do a commercial, and then here comes.
Yeah.
Of course, Animal Kingdom was winner of the Kentucky Derby. It was bred in Kentucky by Team Valor. Everybody knows that. I think Denali Stud raised that colt over there. So anyway, since the year 2000, 10 of the 12 Kentucky Derby winners have been bred in Kentucky. And besides Animal Kingdom winning the Kentucky Derby last week, other Kentucky-bred stakes winners include the winner of the Grade 1 Woodford Reserve Turf Classic, Get Stormy, bred by Mary Sullivan, the winner of the Grade 1 Humana Distaff, Sassy Image, that's a broken vowel filly, bred by J.C. Davis Farm, the Loch Troane Grade 2 at Churchill went to Blind Luck, bred by Fairlong Farm, the American Turf Stakes Grade 2 went to Band, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey, the 8 Bell Stakes at Churchill Downs, Grade 3, Victoria's Wildcat, bred by Marvin Little Jr., the Twin Spires Turf Sprint Stakes, Regally Ready, another More Than Ready, this one bred by Grapestock, that is a division of Vinery, and let's see, the Grade 3 Senorita Stakes at Hollywood Park went to Star Billing, bred by George Krikorian, the Edgewood at Churchill, Diva Ash, Dr. Tom Van Meter II, the Aladar Stakes at Hollywood Park went to Awesome Patriot, bred by Colts Neck Stable. The Wanda Stakes at Belmont, Daring Reality, that's an include, bred by the EICO Stable. I'll just pronounce it EICO, whatever. The Nanny Stakes at Belmont went to Tar Heel Mom. That's a flatter. Of course, stands down in Cleveland. I love flatter. Ups and Downs Farm. The Dream Big Stakes at Atlantic City went to Perfect Officer, bred by Justice Farm, Greg and Steve Justice. The Grade 3 Aphasia Stakes at Tukura, I don't know how in the heck to pronounce this, E-M-I-Y-N-A, anyway, bred by the H.H. Aka Khan. And the Group 3 Huxley Stakes over in England went to Await the Moon, a giant cow's way that was bred by Judd Mott Farm. All righty. Well, Let Me Go has won the Grade 3 Schuylerville Stakes at Saratoga. Trubbs has won the Black Gold Stakes at the Fairgrounds. Swift Warrior has won Turfway's Rushaway Stakes and placed in the Foolish Pleasure Breeders' Cup Stakes and the Tropical Park Derby, both at Calder. Justin Phillip has placed in the Grade 2 Jerome Stakes and the Grade 3 Bayshore Stakes in New York. King Samurai was second in the Fitz Dixon Jr. Memorial Stakes at Presque Isle. Kids Cooler Stakes place out on the West Coast. So that's 6 stakes horses, 3 stakes winners, and 25 first crop winners by First Samurai. First Samurai, Siren Runners. And he has over 70 second crop two-year-olds going for him this year. First Samurai is one of 19 Grade 1 stakes winners by Giants Causeway. He won both the Grade 1 Hopeful and the Grade 1 Champagne as a two-year-old. Giants Causeway has sired 99 stakes winners, 2 graded stakes winners last week, and has twice topped the North American sire list. So First Samurai stands at, First Samurai stands for $25,000 due in the foal stands and nurses, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website at claibornfarm.com.
Sally Van Services has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Derby Boy at Churchill Downs, the Grade 1 Humana Distaff Stakes, was won by Sassy Image, a 4-year-old filly with broken valve. Sassy Image sprinted 7 furlongs in a near-track record, 121, to win by a widening 3 lengths over a select field of fillies and mares, a field which included 2 other Grade 1 stakes winners. Bred in Kentucky by J.C. Davis Farm and trained by Dale Romans, Sassy Image has won 3 graded stakes at Churchill Downs. She won the Grade 2 Golden Grod Stakes and the Grade 3 Pocahontas Stakes. There is a 2-year-old. She won Gulfstream's Sweetest Chance Stakes last year at 3, and her earnings now total $532,355. She is the 3rd distaffer by Broken Vow to win Grade 1 Stakes. Unbridled Bell won the Grade 1 Bell Lame and 4 of the graded stakes for earnings of over $1,909,000. And Cotton Blossom won the Grade 1 Classic Acorn Stakes at 3 after taking the Grade 3 Schuylerville, running 2nd in the Grade 1 Spinaway and 3rd in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Stakes at 2. Cotton Blossom earned over $734,000. Grade 1 Sire Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud for $25,000 live foal. Inquiries to Clifford Berry. See the website at pinoakstud.com. Michael Braun and Dr. Doug Byers have joined me. Michael, I had a nice time over at your place on Sunday.
Nice. Thanks, Ursula. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I hope people enjoyed themselves. The horses had a good time. They got extra carrots, for sure.
I didn't get to look at all of them, but let me compliment you and your staff. The two that we walked down the hill there to see, Gulch and the Clever Alamont and Old Boogers. And I wish I looked that good. I wish I was dappled out like they are.
Yeah, it's amazing. They do it all themselves. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's once they get through the Buyer's Academy, they pass the Buyer's Academy.
Well, Clever Alamont was in bad shape when you got him, you told me. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in terrible shape. In fact, he would have been dead if it wasn't for Dr. Byers.
Is that right?
Yeah, because when he got off the van, I wanted to put him down.
I'm going to start hanging around him.
Yeah, might do you some good.
Yeah.
It's done me a world of good, I'll tell you.
There are laws horses against that. There's laws against that.
Yes.
There are wives against that, too.
Done these horses a lot of good hanging around Dr. Byers, I'll tell you that much.
Well, what's going on out your way, old friend?
Well, let's see. We got a lot of stuff going on. We got Afternoon Delights is coming next weekend.
I got to see him.
Yeah.
I remember when he was over at Brewer's.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm very excited about him coming. They were thinking about sending him this weekend, but there were some mares on that truck, and they decided that was not a good idea.
Not a good idea?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So he's going to have to get his own express truck.
Tell Sally they're no fun.
But, yeah, exactly. They're fabulous. Bert Bachrach owned Afternoon Delights, and I think he's going to help us help him in his retirement. And last year, the Bachrach Foundation sent us $50,000, so that was really nice.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
That was before we got Afternoon Delights, and that's because Bert's ex-wife, Angie Dickinson, prevailed upon him to cough up some dough.
His ex-wife can prevail upon him to do something, huh?
So, yeah.
Well, she must have something on
him. Well, it's Angie Dickinson. You know, come on. She still got it. Exactly right.
Well,
holy
mackerel. But she's still ex.
Huh?
She's still ex.
Yeah, but you don't know why. See?
Yeah. Right.
Let's get into some of those details. Oh, no, that's another show.
Yeah, probably X-rated. Go ahead.
That's on XM radio. But so that's very exciting. Yeah, all the horses are doing really, really well. I brought this book with me today, Saratoga Racecourse, The August Place to Be by Kimberly Gatto, that just came out this week and is available at the classy Old Friends gift shop for $19.95. But it's got a chapter on the horses at Old Friends that raced at Saratoga.
Really?
Got some great pictures of Curious Clown and Awad, and a wonderful color picture of commentator winning the Whitney.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that's one of our new additions.
Probably get it on one of those fancy websites. What would it be?
Yeah, they probably get it on Amazon.com.
Amazon.
Or some of the other ones. If they Googled Kim Gatto, I'm sure it would have a link to where they could purchase it.
How do you spell her last name? G-A-T-T-O?
G-A-T-T-O.
Yeah,
okay. Can people buy from you and you ship it?
Yes.
They can buy from you and you'll ship it?
Okay, yes.
Of course, you're charging for postage.
Of course. Of course.
Goes without saying, does it, Doc?
I don't charge him for handling, just shipping.
Oh. 1,000% markup.
Handling is extra.
Yeah. I want to see the check the price. Is there a price written in that
1995.
Book? Oh, yeah, that's what you say, but what does it say in the book?
Huh? Oh, I think I might have made that up. Yeah. I don't know. No, it says it on the back. It's History Press put it out, and it's 19. Oh, I was wrong. 1999.
So,
I think they should just call it $20, don't you?
I would.
Yeah, just
come on in, Jackie.
Let's clear off that penny and just sell it for $20.
But
we'll get the. But it's a wonderful book about, and it's got some great pictures. You know, famous people who have gone there in the history of the racetrack. And
yeah,
it's really, really a nice book.
Jackie Bernard just arrived.
Good.
Yeah.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I just moved up. Jackie, remember my Jackie
over
here? And you know Doug?
I do.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
I think so.
And this is Ashley, our medic over here, if you're feeling bad.
Hey.
And this is Rusty, our engineer. Have a seat. Pull up a stool.
She's going to go get some coffee.
Oh, you're going to go get some coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's going to go get some coffee.
Okay. All righty. Now we're taking care of that.
Yeah, we got tours coming out. You know, this weekend, a lot of people. I'm going to try and get over to the simulcast today because I won't be able to go tomorrow because we have a lot of... Oh, I know what I have to say, too. They have we have a group of Eagle Scouts in the rain this morning finishing off our brand-new gazebo because I said, you know, we can't have Ursel's, you know, deal at the farm unless we have a gazebo. So it's a very, very nice gazebo, and they're putting the shingles on it today.
I don't want you to refer as my birthday as Memorial Day. Just because it's on Memorial Day, please don't refer to it
as a dress rehearsal.
Ooh, that's smart.
We're going to have the memorial for the horses at 2 o'clock, and then the live people can come in at 4.
Oh, my gosh. They're going to have a little something for me out there? Really?
Yes, sir.
Are you?
Well,
that's
off with
it. A gathering, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay.
I think it will be a lot of fun. I'm already starting to hide the Sam Adams so that we'll have enough for when you get
good.
There.
Good. Well, I hope it didn't. The last time you surprised me when you did this, and I walked in and donated $100. So I hope before I knew it was a surprise birthday party.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember that.
So my own damn birthday cost me $100 right off the top.
Well, this is your 80th.
He works in strange ways.
Yeah, right. He'll get you one way or the other. Coming and going. I pray this is going.
We'll have a great time, though. I know we will, because you have a lot of great friends.
All right. Well, we'll see. Okay. All right. Anything else going on with
you? No, I think that's about it. We're raising the money and raising the fundraising in the last 3 weeks. It's just been over the top. I mean, it's been absolutely great. I can get into some more details once I get clearance from the people who are handling the business affairs. It's going really, really well. Mm-hmm. I hesitate to say it's going really well because some people will say, well, I was going to give him $50 and now I don't have to because it's going well. No, it's not going that well.
I was going to ask for my money back.
All 20?
With interest.
Yeah, all $20. Both dollars. All righty. Well, let me put a commercial here. And then
Russell gave more than $2, believe me. He was very generous. Helping us out.
That was Jackie. I'm still wincing. Well, let me do a commercial here and we'll get Doc on, okay?
He winces when I buy butter.
He winces when I buy butter. That's pretty funny.
Well, yeah, I'm not supposed to eat butter. That's what that's all about. Well, Mizzen Mast, 2-year-old, sold for an average of $127,250 at the recent OBS April sale, and back in March, another sold for $350,000. There are several reasons for this. First and foremost, horsemen are well aware that Mizzen Mast sires runners. He's a proven grade one sire. Then they also know that Mizzen Mast has covered a grand book of mares back in 2008, 150 of them to be exact, and that his current crop of 2-year-olds are his best ever. Now, keep in mind that Mizzen Mast has sired as many as 24 2-year-old winners in a single crop, and that 9 of those 24 won or placed in stakes at 2, and that Mizzen Mast has also sired the likes of Grade 1 stakes winner Near Millionaire Mass Track, Grade 1 stakes winner Midships, such graded stakes winners as Jaboom and Madeo and Tropical Light and Strike the Bell and Six C-Speak, and the recent stakes winner in Grade 2 placed Sheer Beauty, to mention just a few of his superior runners. So, with the best crop of foals to race this year, now is the time to book a mare for 12,500 live foal. Stands at Judmont Farm with the young Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about Carl Lumley, who just built a house for my good friend Doug Byers over here and Susan Byers. And as Susan said, has she got everything unpacked yet over there?
Not quite. She wants to unpack me, get rid of me.
I'm not going to touch that line, Doc. But the things that you all settling, surely you're settling in by now.
We're getting there. We're getting there, and it's very nice. Carl did a great job.
How long has it been since you had to move?
We've only been in there about 10 days.
Oh, I know in there, but I mean prior to that. You know.
Oh, a year.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
that's not
too
bad. Yeah,
we sold our old house, and we moved into the farmhouse with my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for a year, and I tell people I was the most miserable guy there could be. 4 dogs, 2 women, and 1 bathroom. Okay.
Well, I'm not going to touch that line either. I started to say something, but I'm not.
Yeah, but you got to let your imagination empathize a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, I'm looking for sympathy.
No, yeah, okay. Well, you know, well, never mind about that either. Well, anyway, Carl built you a lovely place. You should be happy there. I mean,
it is nice. The beer deck, we're breaking it in without you so far.
Well, I'll be damned.
But we're going to have a shindig out there sooner or later.
Okay. You know? Bring your own beer and a folding chair, right?
That's it. Okay. Yep.
Well, we're talking about Carl Lumley, the builder, and he's been in business for some 10 years, and if he can satisfy Doc, he can satisfy just about anybody, I reckon.
I guess so. And Susan.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place. It really is gorgeous.
Yeah, it is a lovely home. It is. Of course, he's done work for the Seitz family down at Brookdale. Denali Stud, a neighbor of mine, Sarah Hamilton. He built her a barn. A tornado went through there not too long ago. She just lived 3 or 4 miles from me. And it tore a barn down, and he put up a real, real nice. So he'll build you a house or a barn or a run-in shed. He can make repairs, build you one of those beer decks like he did for Doc, and just name it. He's got great references, and his bids are competitive, and he sticks to his bids. He doesn't add on, no add-ons, no surprises. And it's Carl Lumley, and his phone, let me give you his phone number. He doesn't, not fussing at him about not having a website yet. He needs to. He needs to get pictures up on that website of some of the work he's done. And, you know, because that's how you promote things these days. I fussed at him about it, but here's his phone number.
Ursula's on the cutting edge of the latest technology.
Yeah, I'm going to put it up for him. 333-7914. 333-7914. That's Carl Lumley, L-U-M-L-E-Y. And he's a neighbor of mine over. He lives pretty close to me over on Hume Bedford Road. And let me see what else I'm going to do here. We're going to talk about this. Giants Causeways decided 2 greatest stakes winners last week. One in New York and one in Great Britain. He sired 99 stakes winners, 8 this year. And he sired 19 grade 1 stakes winners. Noble Causeway came awful close to making that 20 grade 1 stakes winners. He ran 2nd in the grade 1 Florida Derby. He was also on the board in the grade 1 Suburban, the grade 2 Gulfstream Park Handicap. He won 3 times at Gulfstream. He won the grade 3 Skipaway, and he won Keeneland's grade 3 Ben Ally. Now, Noble Causeway is out of the tough race mare Mimi's Golden Girl by Seeking the Goal. The second dam is the brilliant Classy Kathy, a daughter of Private Account that won the Grade 1 Alabama Stakes, the Grade 1 Ashland Stakes, the Grade 1 Gazelle. She was a flat runner. And a graded stakes producer, incidentally. Classy Kathy is one of 5 stakes winners out of Trestle by Tom Roth. The next dam is by the Great Round Table. Noble Causeway stands for $5,000 to win a full stands of nurses. With breeders' incentives available at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Inquiries to Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I got the horse right here.
All right, now Chris McLean has joined us. Somebody must have won a race somewhere, Chris.
Yes, actually, Claire. Claire Chalet.
Oh, okay. Sit still, Doc.
Careful,
well, sit down. Tell us about it, and then we'll get Doc on here.
I have to say one thing while he's here. McCarran, you know, Susie Oldham's granddaughter, was at the farm the other day, and she was with Little Silver Charm, and I got the greatest picture of her scratching his tummy. I think she's going to be a future candidate for his school.
Oh, there you go.
Did you put that on your Facebook page?
Yeah.
Good. I'll go check it out. Hello, Ressi.
I think Alpano won another race.
She did. Alpano won another race down at Calder a couple days ago. And so she's won 3 now. Anna won 2 this week down at Louisiana Downs. And but I came to tell everybody about High Hope a week from tomorrow. Ressi was out there yesterday. We had a practice race over the course yesterday. I had 10 horses out there on the turf course, and that's the race I was referring to, the Claire one. It was non-sanctioned.
Oh, okay.
But she broke her maiden nonetheless. She got to the wire first for the first time in her life in a race. I took the horse over there, breed some 5/8s. I wanted to get them acclimated to the walk-up start and also going across those paths, the roads that go across the turf course, because we don't want them jumping.
Yeah.
We had one jump yesterday.
Did they put up?
But she landed well.
Did they put up that outside rail?
The outside rail is up in some places, but I was a little concerned because there are several gaps in the inside rail. Like, there'd be 2 panels missing, then you go another 50 yards, another 2 panels missing, but everything worked out. They're going to have it all ready for next Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. But and also, Thursday Night Live, this coming Thursday at Cheapside downtown, I've got 5 graduates that are going to be on the Equisizer showing the crowd what the Equisizers are all about and try to get everybody jacked up about High Hope again.
Oh, good.
Yep. We didn't get to do High Hope last year because of WEG, but we're back in full swing.
Very good.
What about the Bill O'Neill stuff?
The Bill O'Neill stuff.
Yeah, they're...
A blank look has just appeared on Chris McCarran's face. He is not often at a loss for words.
David O'Neill? Or Bill? Oh, Bill, that's right. David Mullins and Bill O'Neill.
Right.
We got it.
You probably know more about it than I do, and I'm on the committee.
I just announced this, and I want to make sure it's real. Are they going to call you Race
In the memory of Bill?
Yes.
Okay, that's it then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you once again for the opportunity.
Obviously, you're not listening to the show because we announced this earlier.
I was busy showing Mike Estes the Today Show replay and the Wall Street Journal replay and all that stuff online. You know, I got to try to promote.
All right.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
All right, Chris, take care.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, Doc.
Yep, and High Hope is a great event. It's always a lot of fun. And, of course, in memory of Bill O'Neill, he's a great person to recognize. Yes, and then David Mullins is the one that really put that all together years ago when we lost David. Mm-hmm. And so it just does a lot of good for everybody.
Yeah, you don't replace people like them either.
Oh.
The Bill O'Neill.
Cardinal Hill is the sponsor this year, too.
Oh,
so
that's
because
terrific.
Cardinal Hill runs the actual hippotherapy and sends out therapists to Riding for Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great connection because Betsy goes to Riding for Hope and they send out two therapists.
Right. And so I think the program Riding for Hope now is also including our veterans coming out of Afghanistan and Iraq, you know.
Yeah, I think they're one day a week. I can't remember what she told me, but the hippotherapy is Tuesday and Fridays, and then the other days it's regular people.
They were looking for some bigger horses to use out there, too, last I heard.
Big, quiet, for the veterans.
For the veterans,
because most of them they have are 14 hands. Mm-hmm. That's ideal for Betsy's size, you know. She's little, but they are looking for them, you know, run across.
Well, you know, to me, there's an intriguing... What goes around comes around, and you know, horses have given their lives and been to war for years, and that is basically no longer. I mean, there's countries in the world that still do have horses, you know, now those veterans come back from the war and get attached to horses,
mm-hmm.
and
that's great.
You know, and it's the horse just gives back to us every day.
Yeah. Of course, our daughter Betsy was injured in a horse, people who don't know, injured in a horseback riding accident. And she was saying when she finally came out of a coma, I'm never going to get on another horse as long as I live. And now she's getting on them out there Riding for Hope.
Right.
And we go home and she says, I want a golden Palomino.
And a bay.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is good or not.
It's good. It says a lot about her.
Not a lot. Another mouth to feed, though, you know.
Yeah.
Doc, I'd have to interrupt you in the middle, so let me do these commercials, and then I'll get right back to you. Is that okay?
That's fine. I'm not much worth listening to anyway.
Oh, get out of here. Well, Leroy DeSantimo, winner of an Eclipse Award, is the sire of Kentucky Derby winner Animal Kingdom. Leroy DeSantimo is sired by Candy Stripes, Invisor. Winner of an Eclipse Award, he was Horse of the Year, of course, is also by Candy Stripes. Candy Ride, whose stud fee has climbed to $25,000 as a proven Grade 1 sire, is out of a daughter of Candy Stripes. Candy Stripes, one of 92 stakes winners by Sire of Sires Blushing Groom, has sired more than 60 stakes winners, including 11 champions. The best of them all was Invisor, who was rated number one in the world for two consecutive seasons. He was named Horse of the Year on two continents, was unbeaten in North America and his native South America, won an unprecedented six consecutive Grade 1 stakes, won the Breeders' Cup Classic, won the Dubai World Cup, and was retired with earnings of over $7,804,000. In 2010, he was the third leading freshman sire, sales sire, when his yearling sold for an average of $101,182. Invisor stands for $20,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk a little bit about my good buddy Ralph Quillen over at Quillen Tack, which is located down in Paris, Kentucky. And he's got a great shop down there. It does a lot for people. As a matter of fact, he helps out over at Old Friends and donates a lot of his work over there. And if you buy a horseman's belt now, they'll give you a nameplate and you get a free. Is this key tag? Free key tag? I've got one of those. If I ever lose it, I'll know where to go and get them. Got a great gift shop down there, and the finest tack shop in the world. There's no two ways about that. And they do business worldwide. And his website, I think, is Quillin.com, Q-U-I-L-L-I-N.com. You know, they're getting tours in there now. They're stopping by to see his shop. You ever been down there, Doc?
I have, but it's been years ago, and I need to get a couple halters, so I'm going to go visit again.
That's the place to go. And they're priced right, and they're quality products. And once again, that's Ralph Quillin and at Quillin Leather and Tack in Paris. Tell you how to find it. If you're going into Paris from the Lexington area, you go to the go straight. Don't turn on the bypass, Paris by. Just keep going straight. Third stoplight on the left, and you can't miss it. Great people to do business with, and wouldn't go anywhere else. That's Quillin Leather and Tack. Well, Spring at Last meets all the requirements to become a successful sire. He won Grade One stakes. He had brilliant speed, plus the ability to win Grade One stakes at 9 furlongs. He was versatile, winning on dirt and grass. Descends from a highly successful sire line, and his female family has produced graded stakes winners in abundance. He stands at a farm noted for developing successful sires. Every stag standing at Windstar Farm has topped the sire list in one category or another. And perhaps most important of all, Spring at Last was bred to over 200 mares in his first 2 seasons at stud, so he'll have the numbers going for him when his first crop reaches the races next year. Spring at Last won Grade One stakes, ventured abroad to whip an international field in the Grade Two Godolphin Mile, sprinted a mile in 1:33.2, earned over $1,139,000. He's one of more than 80 stakes winners by Silver Deputy, a son of champion sire Deputy Minister, and he's one of 2 Grade One stakes winners out of a daughter, Dinah Farmer. Now, the fact that Spring at Last is a grand individual, and so are his first crop yearlings. And you have the recipe for sire success. Inquiries to Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
All right.
Well, Dr. Doug Byers is with me now, and he does our weekly veterinarian segment over here. Get a lot of comments from that, too, Doc.
Well, don't share them with me, because my feelings get hurt.
I'm more worried about your ego.
Yeah, that's been shattered ever since I got married.
Well, I appreciate you coming in to do this. I learn something every week. I can't pronounce any of the things.
Well, I'm going to give you a vocabulary work today. But one thing I did want to announce, one of your previous guests, Essie Rogers from the Kentucky Horse Council.
Yeah.
She's been accepted to veterinary school.
Oh, good for Essie.
Well, good for her. Maybe I need to give her some counseling there. So they're going to lose a superstar.
Where's she going?
I think she's going to Auburn.
Auburn, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, Kentucky has an agreement with Auburn.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
sure
she's going there, but she's been accepted. So we're going to lose her from the area.
Well,
but
she'll be back.
Yeah, I think I'm going to run down and buy some of those vital kits to give out to some clients. And, you know, those are the stethoscopes and things and the charts that you put together. I might even buy one for you.
Uh-oh. There we go.
Yep. But anyway, what I was going to talk about today, we'll get a little bit more serious subject, but thought we've done this before, but we'll touch on cancer. We'll talk about cancer.
We had to put one of Jackie's fox hunters down. He had cancer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just not a month ago.
Well, horses fortunately don't have as much of it as we do, but they don't smoke and they don't do excessive drinking. I guess Senyata had her Guinness beer, but that's about it. But
that what moved her up?
That's what moved her up. They'd hold that can at the end of the at the finish line. So,
there you go.
But anyway, cancer. We know a lot about what triggers it, but everything we know from the horse is basically extrapolated from research done in human medicine.
Yeah.
We don't have the money, and horses are very difficult to look at. Now, as far as the expense of doing research, so we extrapolate that. We don't do a lot of chemotherapy because of the size of the horse and the cost of those drugs kind of becomes cost prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, there'll be an extravagant animal that someone will support, but the outcome is still just like in humans. It varies, but I mean, the flaws in where cancer would come from, we know that there are things and bugs and viruses and things that create that are called carcinogens.
Mm-hmm.
So that means a predecessor to cancer. And there are things in diets, everything else that are carcinogenic. And the oncologist, and oncology is the study of cancer, the oncologist recognizes this, so they give a lot of counseling to preventive in people, but we have to counsel in terms of management. We don't recognize what really would trigger equine problems.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do recognize the causes, we're pretty limited as what we're going to do about them. So you really have two forms of cancer. You have benign, which is not life-threatening. Benign tumors can become life-threatening if they're located like in the abdomen or where they press against something that's a vital organ.
Yeah.
But otherwise, benign tumors, we recognize sarcoids and melanomas and those tumors. And then there are the other type, which are metastatic tumors that spread throughout the body.
Mm-hmm.
Some benign tumors spread. Sarcoids can be in different locations. Melanomas can be in different locations. But they're not going to kill you because their rate of, or it's not going to kill the horse because their rate of growth, as long as they're not in a strategic spot, is pretty much manageable in many ways. So a tumor that is metastatic, that is dangerous to you, is or your horse, is going to be one that spreads, and where it goes to, it outgrows its blood supply. So the tumor lives off your body internally, and grows so fast that it keeps taking more and more of your blood supply and damaging you internally. How it gets started is different theories come out, but we recognize that something gets into the body. This is for humans and animals, that you have a system called immune surveillance. And that means you've got your cellular police that are out there recognizing something that doesn't belong there. We call that self. So you recognize self, and that's okay. But when we have non-self, then that becomes something that the immune system is supposed to eliminate. And when it doesn't, then the surveillance has broken down.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all have cells in our body that can be carcinogenic, and they might settle in one spot or another, and eventually the immune system, the surveillance system, sends in the macrophage, eats them up, and they call those killer cells, and they get rid of it. But if that system fails, then that cell that has gotten out there will begin to grow, multiply. And that's basically a simplified way of looking at cancer. They're looking at proteins now as being triggers. We recognize viruses that cause cancer. The sarcoid is caused by a C-type virus in horses, and they know that that's a viral incited but that surveillance system, that in one horse that doesn't get the sarcoids, he may get exposed to that C virus and handles it. The other horse doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the immune surveillance that breaks down all the time. So cancers in horses we recognize as the benign ones that can spread, but they still don't do any damage other than cosmetics.
Yeah.
And we have different approaches. We use drugs and medications that were developed for human medicine, and if they're cost-effective, you can take a sarcoid and inject it with cisplatin or some of these other anti-cancer drugs and kill it.
Yeah.
And basically, when you do that, you're trying to stimulate the animal's body, which we do recognize that if you take a sarcoid, let's say he's got one on his neck or his ear, and you inject it with something that causes it to necrose and go away. They may have another sarcoid on his hip, and it goes away over time as well because you've, that necrosis has given kind of a jump start to that immune system to go after that bug. And same thing, and so some tumors like melanomas, they want a piece of it. They send it to a lab like stem cell therapy and grow it in the lab and then denature it and use it as a vaccine for that horse.
Okay.
So, again, they're trying to jumpstart that immune system. The results are reasonably poor, not very reproducible, and but still the effort is there to control these things. And with sarcoids, melanomas, you're okay. Now, if you get a squamous cell carcinoma in the horse, usually they start and they look very small and get cauliflower, but they're mucocutaneous junctions. So they can be around the mouth, around the eyes, the penis where the urethra exits, the vulva of mares, and then they can grow and become kind of vicious, and they will metastasize.
Mm-hmm.
So they can wind up going internal into the body somewhere. And so there are treatments for squamous cell carcinomas. We recognize in cattle that pink eye goes on to become squamous cell carcinoma in their eyes.
Is that right?
And so ultraviolet light in some horses, you take an Appaloosa or an animal that doesn't have pigment around the eyes, they're very subject to a squamous cell carcinoma developing. And again, that goes back just like in humans, recognizing ultraviolet light can be become a form of radiant energy that can be carcinogenic. Pigment absorbs that. So animals that have pigment around their eyes are you don't see a whole lot of it. Much more rare, but we know those that are predisposed. And anyway, we have progressed tremendously in veterinary medicine. We can treat some. Any of those things need to be diagnosed. If you have a cancer like they just put down Devil May Care last
what
week.
What a shame that was, huh?
Yeah. And she apparently had lympho or lymphosarcoma or lymphoma, however you want to talk about that. Lost in the Fog was another horse there. And basically they become what we call ADRs, or just not, ain't doing right. And so then they begin in one way or another to deteriorate, either their appetite, their behavior, their... You know, they become more lethargic, and then weight loss. When weight loss sets in, then you know you've got major problems. To figure out where those problems are, you biopsy those tissues and see if you can demonstrate those things. And again, some of those horses can be treated, even those with systemic diseases. There's a guy named Dr. Cotto up at Ohio State University who has successfully treated lymphoma horses. And but not consistently, but successfully, yes, but not consistently. So that's kind of it. It's just a flag that's out there, and 90% of them are benign tumors, and just manage that, you know, and the 10% falls through the crack. Okay?
Well, I hope you're not talking about anything recent that you've seen.
No, we're I think those are things that... get on the list. Get on the list, and then you need to pursue what you have as your what we call a differential diagnosis. And again, so.
All right, Doc.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I do. And Michael, thank
see you, Ursel.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks,
in,
buddy,
my friend.
Well, come see us anytime you want. Looks like the skies are clearing up. Come see the horses today. Ball Four has moved from Dr. Byers over to our farm now, and so he's down in class, but he seems good.
Doc moved in, and the horse moved out. Huh?
Ball Five now, strike three.
Right.
Hey, thanks, Ursel.
All right, thank you. Well, in the midst of a Grade One stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday, the number one sire of 2011 North American Stakes winners, with seven. And it didn't take in the mischief long to demonstrate that he was something special. He sprinted 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 to win his first start, then went a mile in the 16th and won 14-4 to take the Grade 1 cash call for Tootie at the direct expense of Colonel John and 10 others. In the Mischief went on at 3 to take the Damascus, blazing 7 furlongs and 120-1. That's 120-1. This, after placing in both the Grade 1 Malibu and the Grade 2 San Vicente stakes. Out of a stakes-winning mare from a running family in a mister's first foals, yearlings, and he stands for $8,500 at Spendthrift Farm. Another young Spendthrift Farm stallion of note is Notional, a multiple-graded stakes winner bred along the same lines as Indian Charlie. Both are by NXS, from mares that traced back in tail mail to Northern Dancer. Notional was a graded stakes performer every year he raced at 2, 3, and 4, won graded stakes at Santa Anita, the fairgrounds, and at Monmouth for earnings of over $733,000. He stands for $7,500, and the fees on both Into Mischief and Notional are not due until the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year, pedigrees dating back to 1950. The American produce records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Dutch. Well, my good friend Bill Bernard has the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine facility over on the Georgetown Pike, right where Ironworks empties into it. Also over there is the Wycliffe Pharmacy, and that's where Jackie Bernard, and yes, she's going to be on the show here in just a very few minutes. But the surgery is, and it's a sports medicine facility also, outpatient medicines and elective surgery, and absolutely. Dr. Wes Sutter, who is a board-certified surgeon, and Dr. Bill Bernard, Dr. Lori Bidwell, she is a certified anesthesiologist. Of course, Bill was with Rudin Riddle for 17 years. Everybody knows him. What you do, you call up, make an appointment for what you want done. They give you the cost, the price in advance. You come in, they take care of you, they send your bill, and there is no add-ons, no surprises. What you pay is what they... what they tell you, that's it. So there's going to be no surprises whatsoever. And their goal there is to provide great services at a reasonable price. And, of course, Jackie's facility is right next door to it.
Oh, yeah, and it's wonderful. They've got everything you need. But I think it's just really fascinating that she came up with the idea of a compounding pharmacy for horses. There's only two that I know of in central Kentucky for humans. And it's great. One size pill doesn't fit all. They can, you know, put them together. They can take whatever it is and grind it up with something else, just like they used to do. And, you know, before things start coming in boxes. So it's just really terrific. They do a great job. And their labeling is awfully good, too. They color code things. So, you know, you can prescribe by phone. It's an 888 number, 934-5678. Ooh, did you get that number? 888-934-5678. Ooh, that's
very good
number. Yeah, excellent. So anyway, that's Wycliffe Veterinary Pharmacy.
All righty. Well, Jackie, you want to go on and do some...
I'd love to. Kentucky Equine Humane Center, ooh, they're full. And they're getting horses in hand over fist.
Oh, my.
Because of the economy and people are dumping them. So they need more volunteers, too. So if you can give them, help them out, it would be a really great thing.
Yeah, adopt some of these horses over there.
Yeah.
You can take care of them.
KYEHC.org, this week's horse... a sweetie. His name is Winston. He's a quarter horse cross, dark bay, 5-year-old gelding. He's 14-1. He's done nothing. Hey, somebody just probably bred him, turned him out, never, whatever. But he's really, really nice, and he's very easy to handle. Been ridden a little bit, loves attention. This is a nice horse, especially for a pony clubber. So, or a 4-H'er. Winston is his name. He's the horse of the week. Okay, the Bluegrass Council of the Boy Scouts of America are helping organize the 7th Annual Sporting Clays Classic, Saturday, August 20th at Camp McKee. This is Farm Manager Associate event. So if you're interested, probably get a hold of farm managers. That's better. Okay, and speaking of whom, next membership meeting is this coming Wednesday. Dr. John Liu, old fox hunting buddy, is going to speak. He, it's interesting, born in Hong Kong, grew up in Australia, graduate of the University of Tasmania. They're called the Devils, I think. Or I just made that up. Anyway, he has a PhD in equine nutrition. And he works for Macaulay's, of course. He's Director of Research and Technical Service. Now, you need to call them ASAP to get a reservation.
Did you call?
No, I forgot. I thought about it last. I'm going to call today and leave a message. And then I'll show up. You get a real stupid look on my face that they say, who? And then I'll look down at the reservation list that she's got, read it upside down, and give the name of somebody that's not there yet.
Yeah, that they probably know.
Probably, yeah. Anyway, you know, he's done a lot, too, for Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. So, anyway, that's going to be fun. That's going to be Wednesday at Keeneland, Dr. Liu, and that is also Pint Night. You get a free beer, free drink, whatever, if you bring some colostrum, which is always low. And they're going to have their 19th Annual Challenge Cup Golf Scramble Monday, June 27th in the University Club Golf Course. That's something to look forward to. So, if you're interested in that, it's Kurt Ramsey, 533-2291, if you're interested in doing that. Let me see new members. I always go to see new members, see if it's anybody I know. Oh, Betsy McCullough. I know Betsy. Hi, Betsy, out there. And, should have said something to Michael about going. They always go. The Macaulay's is one of the sponsors of the Bluegrass Challenge or whatever it is. All these certain shows all through the summer. You add up to, it's the Macaulay's Battle of the Bluegrass Series. You get to sign up for year-end awards. The next one that I know about is Sheffield Ridge Farm Spring Hunter Jumper Show, presented by Macaulay's. It's May 21st and 22nd, 101 day jumpers on Sunday. They let you school on Fridays and Saturday real early. So if you want to pick up on that, I'm sure all the kids know about that.
All right, Jackie, we can finish up a little later on those, can't you?
Okay.
Yeah, you want to get Jackie in here and I'll do
okay,
this?
I'll call
her. Oh, you might want to sit down and ask her something about that compounding a little later if you want to. Whatever.
All right,
last Saturday at Churchill Downs, the great $300,000 Twin Spire Sprint Turf Stakes was won by Regally Ready, a 4-year-old son of More Than Ready. Bred and owned by Vinery, Regally Ready has won 4 in a row, was coming off a graded stakes win at Santa Anita, has 7 wins, and has been in the money in 12 of his 13 career starts, and has earned over $364,000. He's a typical More Than Ready, the sire of 10 2011 stakes winners, 4 of them graded stakes winners, including 2 grade 1 stakes winners. More Than Ready was the number 1 ranked sire on the 2010 juvenile sire list and number 3 on the general sire list. Regally Ready wears the Vinery silks. You're welcome to visit Vinery, and when doing so, ask about the Vinery racing partnerships and inspect the state-of-the-art facilities for the care of the thoroughbred. Just contact John Gasper, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson at 455-9388 and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, as about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, last Sunday at Aqueduct, the grade one mile Wanda Stakes was won by Daring Reality, a 3-year-old filly by Include, bred in Kentucky by Ico Stables. Daring Reality is placed in the Busher Stakes and the Bassanda Stakes, both at Aqueduct earlier this year. 2 days earlier, Churchill Downs, another 3-year-old filly by Include, was an unlucky second in the grade one Kentucky Oaks. St. John's River, bred and owned by Didi McGeehee, closed from dead last in a field of 13, got beat a neck. And the chart of the Oaks read, St. John's River hit the side of the starting stall when breaking awkwardly. Swerved to the rail soon after, advanced in the two-path on the second turn, moved to the rail in the upper stretch, steadily moved up on the leader inside the furlong pearl pole, angled out with a 16th to go and was gaining rapidly late. So there's a filly to be reckoned with in the future. Include is the sire of 9 grade one stakes horses, including 3 grade one stakes winners, and his current crop of 2-year-olds are his best to date. A grade one stakes winner by champion sire Broad Brush, Include stands for $7,500 live foal with attractive breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brayard and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Dear Jackie. All right. I have Jackie Bernard here with me and an added starter, Kara McGovern. And I guess you'll both, of course, connected with the Wycliffe Pharmacy that we've been talking about on this show for a couple of weeks.
We are. We're both involved in it. Kara's been with Wycliffe since we opened about 13 years ago. So we've been together a long time. Hmm?
13 years ago.
13
I
years.
I knew you, Jackie, when you were out here training horses.
And that was right before that. I actually had horses the first year into Wycliffe.
Is that right?
Yeah. So we had, I was doing both. I'd come out here in the morning and then go work the pharmacy in the afternoon.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah?
Yeah, 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. Wow. How'd you get into training?
I grew up next to a thoroughbred farm in Indiana. And started out galloping horses, and then actually got some very great connections in the industry, and started training horses shortly after school.
Uh-huh. And where'd you go to school?
I went to Ball State.
Ball State?
Ball State in Muncie, Indiana.
Did you learn something about pharmacy or something there?
No, business. I learned more about business.
Oh, you learned about business.
Yeah. So I actually, we employ several pharmacists. We have 2 full-time pharmacists at the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And I do the business part, and Kara actually manages the whole facility.
Okay. How long did you train?
About 7 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, this was back...
90. I got out of the thoroughbred training in 96, when my son was born. So.
Okay, in 96.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, gee whiz. How come you got prettier and I got uglier?
In all this time, huh?
What the hell is
this?
Thank you. That's not fair. Well, of course, you're married to Bill Bernard.
Yeah, we're married.
Why did you meet Bill?
I met Bill through a horse connection. I had a sick horse that came down to Rude and Riddle. And
called a vet.
Yes.
And guess who showed up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest has been history.
The rest is
history.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> Well, he's a great guy. I really enjoyed meeting him. I'd never met him before, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Over there. But did your family, when you were a kid, you say you grew up next to a horse farm?
I grew up next to a horse farm. I grew up hunter jumpers, showing show horses. I had an Arabian. Just kind of always messed around.
My condolences with the Arabian. Yeah.
Everybody says that.
Yeah. And so you just, and then you started getting on thoroughbreds, you know?
Yeah, started galloping racehorses when I was 13 or 14, next door, a summer job.
Uh-huh.
And just couldn't get away from it.
Couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
And then decided to come to Kentucky and train.
Came to Kentucky with a group of horses for a client that I was training for that.
Where were you racing at that time?
At that time, I had a farm in Ohio.
Oh, did you?
So we moved down, I moved my string down here when the track was covered to train two-year-olds for one winter and decided I'd just stay.
Yeah. Has it changed here since you...
It has. You know, Lexington in general has changed, but the training center has changed.
Oh, I mean, God, yeah. Especially since Keenan bought
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they've built the new concrete barns down on the end, you know, the concrete block
Very
barns.
Very nice, yeah.
Nice barns. Remodeled everything on the hill.
It looks great.
Yeah.
A lot of familiar faces still. It's good to see.
Yeah.
Susie's
here.
Oh, the Outrider.
Yeah.
Susie's still here.
Wow. I haven't been around much to see a lot of them.
Well, you'll have to come over.
Yeah, absolutely.
There'll be some people here that you still know.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Eduardo's still here. He was always stabled next to me. Seemed like wherever we moved over on the hill, he was always my neighbor, so that's nice.
He's got two barns full over there now.
I know.
Matter of fact, his kids are helping him now, you know.
It's Cowie fun to see them all grown up and kind of running the show now.
The kids, yeah.
Yeah.
Cowie and Kayo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for me to remember their names. I've got a little complaint, though. You know, they speak perfect English. And they call I do the clock in here, you know. So they call me up on the phone, and invariably it's Eduardo.
Oh, and he doesn't.
I understand every other word.
Yeah.
And
I've known him for years and still only understand every other word.
Right. As a matter of fact, and of course the boys, you know, you know, they're completely. I had Eduardo on the show about a year ago, I guess. And the boys were just tickled to death afterwards. Says, well, he sounds better on the air than he does at home.
It's great to see a family work so well together.
Oh, yeah, they're nice. They live right up here on Swigert right now. Yeah, you living here in Lexington.
Live in Lexington. Lived in the remodeled 1800s log cabin. Lived in it since the kids were born. Yeah, out on Mount Horeb.
On Mount Horeb.
Yeah, right in front of Pegasus, where the old Pegasus farm was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The log cabin right there.
Okay.
And then we have a farm around the corner. So we keep...
That's where your old farm is?
Yeah, we have it right around the corner on Lemons Mill. We have a farm.
Now, Bill never told me you had a farm.
We do, and actually just building a new teepee for the kids. So it's right on the Elkhorn.
A new what?
Teepee.
A teepee.
A teepee. We had a teepee made.
Is that anything like an outhouse? No.
No. It's like an Indian teepee.
I know, dear.
Jeez.
So we're hoping the kids will have a lot of fun with it.
Well, I hope so. Hey, we've got a builder for a sponsor.
Well, I was listening to that. I heard that.
Yeah, he built Dr. Doug Byers' farm.
Yeah.
House, you know. Gorgeous place, yeah.
Well, I'm hoping never to build anything again. After we built the pharmacy and the hospital and... We're hoping that's it for building for a while.
I'm going to talk to you more about the pharmacy. Let me take a break and I'll get back and we'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to find out what gave you the idea for a pharmacy anyway, especially if you had a business degree and a trainer's license. It doesn't seem like a background for a pharmacy. Unless you were giving those horses something that I didn't know about.
Oh, no. That wasn't happening.
Well, let me take a little break. I got to take care of Claiborne here. Let me go. Has won the Grade 3 Schuylerville Stakes at Saratoga. Trubbs has won the Black Gold Stakes at the Fairgrounds. Swift Warrior has won Turfway's Rushaway Stakes and placed in the Foolish Pleasure Breeders' Cup Stakes in the Tropical Park Derby, both at Calder. Justin Phillip has placed in the Grade 2 Jerome and the Grade 3 Bayshore, both in New York. King Samurai was second in the Fitz Dixon Jr. Memorial as a two-year-old at Presque Isle. Kids Cooler takes place on the West Coast. That's 6 stakes horses, 3 stakes winners, and 25 first crop winners by First Samurai. First Samurai is hiring runners, and he has over 70 second crop two-year-olds going for him this year. First Samurai is one of 19 Grade 1 stakes winners by Giants Causeway. He won both the Grade 1 Hopeful and the Grade 1 Champagne at 2. Giants Causeway has sired 99 stakes winners, 2 graded stakes winners last week, and has twice topped the North American sire list. First Samurai stands for $25,000 doing the full stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and check the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, last Saturday in New York, the Grade 3 Fort Morrissey Handicap was won by Straight Story by Giants Causeway. And just 2 days earlier in Great Britain, the Group 3 Betfair Huxley Stakes went to Await the Dawn by Giants Causeway. Giants Causeway is the sire of 8 2011 stakes winners. 6 have won graded stakes, including Grade 1 stakes winner Giant Oak. His next stakes winner will be his 100th. He has topped the North American sire list 2 consecutive years, and through last year he had sired an average of 14 stakes winners per crop, and nearly 50% of them won graded stakes. He's the sire of 19 Grade 1 stakes winners. Giants Causeway is, by any measure, the most successful son of the great Storm Cat. Straight Story, a $400,000 graduate of the Keeneland September sales, won stakes at Saratoga last year, was second by a head in Grade 1 stakes, and has earned over $641,000. The Fort Marcy was the first start, his first start this year. The Betfair Huxley Stakes was also the first start of the year for Await the Dawn. He won Group 3 Stakes last year and has won 4 of his 5 starts. Champion sire Giants Causeway stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
Hey.
I'm talking to Jackie Bernard, and I'm going to talk to Carrie McGovern here. I've got a feeling that she's one of your chemists. Is that correct?
No. She's actually the pharmacy director. So she handles all the business part of the employees and the formulations, pretty much the whole show. She manages everything.
Oh. Do you write the checks?
I do not write the checks.
Now, that's the one thing I still do. You had to pick the one thing, huh?
I submit them for writing. That's about it.
Okay. Well, what gave you the idea to start this? And the way I understand, when we've been talking about it, and my wife is a whole lot smarter than I am, she says that you all are a compounding pharmacy.
We are. We're a compounding pharmacy. We're a full-service pharmacy, just like any pharmacy that you might walk into for a human prescription.
But there's just one or two of those in this area.
Well,
for people.
Correct. There are. And we are licensed the same as any human pharmacy would be. We could do human stuff. We're one of the few places that just do veterinary pharmacy. We don't do any human pharmacy. And that's mainly just we want to focus on what we're treating in our patients and, mm-hmm. and our veterinarians that prescribe to us. So we specialize in veterinary pharmacy. A lot of compounding pharmacies in the area can do some veterinary compounding, but they may not specialize in it.
Yeah.
We started out, like I said, about 13 years ago with veterinarians in the area coming to us and saying, you know, we don't have this to treat foals mainly. And that's how we started. My husband being in internal medicine, he was treating foals, and he's like, there's not these certain antibiotics that they need to treat the foals with, or they're not made in the dosage forms that was easy to give. So we started a few years ago with just a couple of antibiotics, providing it to some of the local hospitals. And as the need grew and things come on and off the market, we started compounding those. And that's what a compounding pharmacy is. A compounding pharmacy is a regular pharmacy that could also prescribe tablets and capsules and anything you might need. But we also take things that are not commercially available, and we have the raw ingredients, which are USP-grade chemicals, and we can make a medicine. We can make a paste or a suspension or an injection for animals that need that particular
mm-hmm.
chemical.
Now, if I need something, do you have to have a prescription?
You do. In our facility, everything is prescription. You have to have a prescription from your veterinarian, just like you would in a human pharmacy. Or a veterinarian can call us and say, you know, we're going to treat these animals, and they can write a prescription themselves for medication that they will then go out and administer to the horses.
Yeah. And, Carrie, you've got something to do with do you make sure that this is done right, or what?
That is a very big part of my job. Formula development in general, trying to find out the need in the industry, keeping up with products that go off the market so that we can then formulate them, obtaining appropriate formulations so that we can make them so we can make them the best that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, yeah, formula development and new products.
Yeah. Well, how big is your staff over there?
We have a staff of 30 employees right now.
Good. God, Gertrude.
I know. We have we have several technicians. We have both technicians in the oral preparation area and then in the aseptic preparation area. Mm-hmm. So certain technicians go to training for each of the areas that they work in. In addition, we have a packing station crew, and we have a sales group, and just general office staff.
Yeah, but you all do stuff all over from, do you ship out stuff a lot, you know, to other vets?
Yeah, we do. We're licensed in 48 states.
Is that right?
Yeah, we ship.
Well, who are the four losers?
They're lost, huh?
yeah, exactly.
Well, some states that we just don't have enough business in to pursue a license. Hawaii, Puerto Rico, so places like that we don't pursue.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm. So you're in charge of shipping all that, make sure everybody gets the right thing, goes to the right place.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct. And that also that we follow all the guidelines. Regulatory compliance is another big aspect of my position.
Federal guidelines, I bet you.
Boy, federal and state.
And state. Mm-hmm. Well, that can be pretty hairy, can't it? Yeah.
That can be. It can, because it's different for every state. Federal guidelines, of course, they're national, but state guidelines are different.
Uh-huh.
So for every state, you have to know the guidelines, and you have to make sure that you follow them appropriately.
Yeah. How did you get into this?
Really, I had met Jackie, and I was living down the street from her, ended up meeting her, and she said, hey, I'm going to this trade show. I'm going to start this business. Would you like to come along with me and kind of help me out? So that's it. I worked as a technician and worked in the sales department. I've done pretty much most every position in the company.
Yeah, how long have you been with
her? Just over 12 years. Almost 13.
Good Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess this was your and Bill. You just wanted to satisfy a need that, like Bill said, we got to have some this kind of medicine.
Exactly. We started providing from one local hospital stuff they needed. And then as I realized the need was out there throughout Kentucky, we started shipping to other locations, you know, other veterinarians throughout the country. So as the need grew, our business has grown.
And where'd you start? Where was your first business? A location.
Location, we were downtown in a very neat old building on Jefferson Street that we just moved out of last year, which was hard to park. We were at 148 Jefferson, right across from Stella's Deli.
Oh, and where Stella's Deli is.
Yeah, everybody knows where Stella's is. We moved out right before they opened the pizza place, the Grey Goose, you know, all the fun stuff in the area.
But, yeah, there's a bunch of places in there.
Yeah, it has. It's become quite the hot spot. It was hard transition to move from downtown. We really love being downtown. But as the business grew, I mean, we really were bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
So we built the new facility on the corner of Georgetown and Ironworks. And
yeah.
Love being out there.
Now, you all also, you know, there used to be a facility over on, that would be North Limestone, right across from that school out there that where people would take in there, the vets would take their Coggins and things. Do you all do those now?
We do. We brought in the Limestone Lab. Used to be called the Kentucky or Lexington Lab or Veterinary Lab. Now we call it the Limestone Lab. Same crew, Bob and Connie and Mary Alice, still in there. They're great people.
Oh, really? You just brought the people with you?
The whole crew has moved over. They've joined our crew. So we are able to do all the analytical testing that they were providing at the other facility and some new tests as well.
Oh, wow.
So we're happy to have them. Yeah, it's been a good
move.
Well,
that's great.
They've been with us since February. We've been in our new facility just over a year. We are a PCAB-accredited pharmacy. That's something I'd like to talk a little bit about.
What was that now?
It's called PCAB accreditation. And it's
PCAB?
Something, it's an accreditation board that we have gone before. We were on our own goodwill. We signed up to go through an accreditation program where they actually come in and inspect your facility and make sure you're following all the state and federal guidelines. And then they take it a step further to do some Q&A, some quality assurance. So they set up standards.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually went through that. We are one of the we're the second in the state. We were to become PCAB accredited, and probably one of the top only three in the country of veterinary pharmacy that are PCAB accredited. So it's a big feather in our hat. I mean, that's something that Kara's taken it from the beginning to the end, going through.
Job,
it's quite
Kara.
A process.
Wow.
We all did it. It's really been a team effort. It's a lot of work on everybody's
part. So we're very proud of that. And that takes us to a whole other level in the veterinary, that there's veterinary pharmacies out there, but there may not be pharmacies that are reaching these standards.
Uh-huh.
We do outside analytical testing on all of our compounds so that you know what you are getting is what you were prescribed, and that it's sterile if it's an injectable or oral preparation, so you don't have to worry about potency. So it's just one step further to provide better medications.
Boy, I tell you, that's impressive.
Thank you. It's a lot of work, but it's great. It helps people to know. When you trust a compounding pharmacy, I mean, you rely on them for the medications that you're giving your animals all the time. Mm-hmm. So you know when we take that extra step that you can trust the product that we're offering.
Yeah.
And that means a lot.
Very good.
We really have relationships with the veterinarians that prescribe through Wycliffe. And to keep those relationships, you really have to offer out, you have to have a good product. Mm-hmm. And they have to trust the product that you have. It has to be a good quality product that offers the same results consistently. And we feel like we do that.
Now, of course, your husband Bill's place is right next door.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes it kind of convenient, too, doesn't it?
It is nice. It's nice to have the hospital out there next to us because a lot of our, you know, the pharmacist team, you know, the pharmacists, they're human pharmacists. They have never seen a paste being given to a horse or, you know, a foot pack. So it's been nice to be able to take the technicians and the pharmacist over there and say, these are how the medications are used. This is why it needs to be thicker or this is why it needs to be an oral, or, you know, this is why you can't give it orally. And they get to see that in action. So it's been nice to have the hospital there. Plus, it creates the independent veterinarians that come in the area. They can go to the hospital. They can get their medications. They can do their lab work. All in one place.
One place. Good location.
We like the location. And it's a great location.
Of course, it's not close to Stella's Deli.
No, and we don't have a Starbucks either. So.
No. Well, hell.
Open one.
Somebody's going to use that corner for that. There's someday going to be a Starbucks there.
Do you all own that little piece of property right
there? We don't. That belongs to the original gentleman that we bought the property from. So we're hoping he's going to sell it to Starbucks.
Okay. Is that Hargis Sexton?
It's Hargis Sexton.
Oh, my goodness. I got to tell you something. Hargis used to live in that, you know, when it would be the first house on your left, and there's a barn right next to it. And in 1958, I was in there visiting and was listening to the radio, Kentucky play Seattle, in the finals of the NCAA, and that's when Hargis was living there. Wow. So I've known Hargis a couple of years.
Yeah, one or two. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I'm dating myself now, for God's sake.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, anyway.
He was really instrumental in us getting the location out there. We really love the location.
How long has it been since you've been in? It's been many years since I've been in Stella's Deli. Now, how long since you've been in there?
Oh, it's been about a year since we moved out. But before that, I was there almost every day.
Do they still have, right behind the bar there kind of thing, the black and white picture of this horse finishing the big picture?
They have all the black and whites. Now, they took them down, reframed them, and put them all back up, but they still have all
the There's one of a horse coming down, you know, he's in front coming down, kind of a, almost a hit-on shot.
Huh.
This big.
Yeah, I don't recall that.
I went in there many years ago. I got to tell you the story. Brag a little bit. I went in there, and the guy says, "That's Citation." And I said, "No, it's not." And I said, "That's Kelso." And, I won me a free lunch that day because it was Kelso. Yeah. But he should have known better, you know. It wasn't any devil red, and, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, it's black and white photo and everything, you know. Huh. Well, I'm really impressed, girls, I tell you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
And it's wonderful to know that we've got that greater facility here in this area because, you know, that we've got the greatest vets in the world right here.
It only makes sense to have the best pharmacy here in Lexington.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wycliffe Veterinary and Pharmacy.
Veterinary Pharmacy.
Well, Jackie, thank you.
Thank you for having
us. And thank you for bringing Kara in, and we appreciate it. You all coming in. And gee whiz, good to see you again.
It's good to see you. It's nice to be out here.
I went over there to see Bill, and he says, "You know my wife," and I couldn't imagine, you know. And then as soon as I saw you, I knew, you know.
Oh, well, it's good to see you. Yeah, you haven't changed a bit.
Oh, thank you. You've got prettier.
Oh, well, thanks.
Right. Well, thank y'all for coming in.
Thanks, sir.
I appreciate it. It's been fun talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, you too.
All righty. Oops, let me catch up here. Let's see where we are. Well, Mizzen Mast two-year-old sold for an average of $127,250 at the recent OBS April sale, and back in March, another sold for $350,000. There are several reasons for this. First and foremost, horsemen are well aware that Mizzen Mast sires runners. He's a proven Grade 1 sire. Then they also know that Mizzen Mast covered a grand book of mares back in 2008, 150 to be exact, and that his current crop of two-year-olds are his best ever. Now, keep in mind that Mizzen Mast has sired as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop, and that nine of those 24 two-year-olds won stakes, and that Mizzen Mast has also sired the likes of Grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire, Mass Track, Grade 1 stakes winner Midships, Graded stakes winner Jaboom, Madeo, Tropical Light, Strike the Bell, C-Speak, and the recent stakes winner in Grade 2 placed Sheer Beauty, to mention just a few of his superior runners. So with his best crop of foals to race this year, now's the time to book a mare. 12,500 live foal. Stands over at Judmont Farm with a young Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about my good buddy Tom Biederman. Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. And Tom, he's a broker, of course. I've got a website for him here, and it's a great website. You need to go on there and look at it. And he's got some wonderful property. A couple of them are right close to me over on Greenwich. One I lust after. And it's just a walk-on facility. It's almost to 460. And it joins Dave Parrish's farm right there on the corner of 460 and Greenwich. And it's a great place. Somebody should buy that, because I tell you, it's just a walk-in facility, and it's... I don't believe there's a blade of grass out of place on the whole place, and it's wonderful. And he's got lots of good properties for sale, great part. We've got wonderful people working for him, and Tom is a great guy to do business with. He's one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet, and excellent auctioneer as far as that goes. Does a lot of charity auctioneering, and he's a horseman. And, you know, he's if you're looking for a place, he knows will know what you want. If you're looking for a horse farm, he can sell, and you can't. I wouldn't list with anybody else. I mean, I'm going to give you his website. It's Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Let me spell Tom's last name for you: Biederman. So Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers, Tom Biederman. And here's his phone number: it's 277-2030. Well, a Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks was won by Plum Pretty. That's a filly raised at Walnut Green Farm in Pennsylvania, and Walnut Green is associate of McCauley Brothers Pennsylvania facility. Also last week at Churchill Downs, the Grade 2 La Troyenne Stakes was won by Blind Luck. That's a four-year-old filly bred by Dr. William A. Baker and raised at his Farallon Farm. Now, of course, you know that Blind Luck was a champion three-year-old filly in 2010. Earning one of six Eclipse Awards garnered by associates of McCauley Brothers. And the Grade 3 Twin Spires Turf Sprint Stakes was won by Regally Ready, racing in the Vinery Silks and bred by Grape Stock, and that's the division of Vinery. So congratulations to the Walnut Green Farm, to Dr. Baker, to the folks over at Vinery from McCauley Brothers. Now let us call your attention to the fact that the next speaker at the Farm Managers Club, it's going to be next Wednesday, May the 18th, at Keeneland, is Dr. John Liu. And John's the Director of Research and Technical Services for McCauley Brothers. McCauley Brothers must be on the leading edge of science and technology as it affects equine nutrition, and Dr. Liu heads the technical team. For more information, call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse.
I got the horse right here. The name.
All right. Well, Jackie's outside talking to the Jackie Bernard and to Kara McGovern. I was going to get her to finish with the announcements, but heck with her. So I'll read something. I'm going to read something from, I enjoy reading these things anyway, that Joe Palmer wrote back in the 40s anyway, and so Here we go. This was written. This was from a column written by Joe Palmer way back many years ago. Tossed it away, the man said. Just tossed it off. He came up outside three horses and lost 10 lengths on the stretch turn. And all the time there was a hole in the inside you could have pulled the starting gate through. And that's a race rider? With this, in flat defiance of the loudspeaker's orders, he destroyed his pari-mutuel tickets before the result was official. This department did not argue because the man who has just lost a bet is likely to be warm and not exactly amenable to pure reason. But there crept back into my mind a horse named Charles, about whom I hadn't thought for a dozen years. Charles was not a racehorse, though he had an underdetermined amount of thoroughbred blood. He lived, if you can call it that, in a riding school in Lexington, Kentucky, at a time when I still believed that physical exercise was beneficial. Charles and I got to be pretty good friends. I rode him 2 or 3 mornings a week, and I would feed him sugar, and he would nibble at my shoulder and not take any skin off 4 times out of 5, which is rather good for a horse in a public academy. Incidentally, it was the improvement of the breed, at which some people jest, which made me give up riding. When I was very young, the distance from the top of a horse to the ground was an inconsiderable thing, like falling out of a hammock. As I got older, this distance increased, and this is hardly to be explained except on the ground that horses got taller. But to return to Charles. He and I got mixed up with some other people and horses who were members of the Reserve Corps of the Cavalry Division, one which had since been discontinued. And some bright soul decided it would be a good idea to practice cavalry drill. Charles couldn't see it. Possibly he was pretending he was war admiral, which was in the news about that time. But anyway, he wanted to be in front. A half length was enough for him, but he was bound and determined to be a half length in front of such horses as were supposed to be in line with him. I was riding, of course, with long stirrups, and when I put my feet on the dashboard, as the jockeys say, I could put 200 pounds on the reins. But even so, I couldn't haul Charles back into line and keep him there. With a curb, maybe I could have done it, but not with a snaffle. Charles and I were reproved sharply by the drill master for being perpetually out of formation. Fortunately, I was not actually a member of the reserve and could speak my mind without facing a charge of mutiny, and I did. Must have been fairly good because Charles cocked an ear back to listen and didn't bite me again for 2 or 3 weeks. The point of it is that if, with 200 pounds to pull with at a collected trot, I could not do much with Charles, what is a 100-pound jockey perched insecurely on a wisp of saddle going to do with 1,000 pounds of thunder at racing speed? And suppose the horse is a real competitor, with a flame in his heart and the smell of battle in his nostrils. He's going where he damn well pleases. That's where he's going. You see, I was just a bad rider, which is more or less true. But let's turn to Master George Edward Arcaro, who is recognized as having a certain proficiency in this field. In 1948, he took Citation out for the Pimlico Special. Everything else had been scared out, and Citation had a walkover. All he had to do for $10,000 was get around the track. The expectation was that Eddie would jog him a mile and then let him run a little through the stretch to please the customers. But Citation had some ideas of his own. He went over the mile in 3/16 and won 59-4. Shut out. Took longer than that to win the race, and so did Chaladon. If there had been another horse to run with, Citation would have done it a good deal faster, and neither Arcaro nor that rider who was supposed to be able to hold the 20th Century Limited could have stopped him. At Saratoga a few years ago, a movie company was making a picture about the life of Man of War, and they were trying to shoot a sequence showing the 1919 Sanford Stakes. Man of War, if you remember, was behind Golden Broom and held in a pocket by Upset. And when Loftus finally took up to go around, Willie Knapp gunned Upset, and though he was losing ground, he made it to the finish. Ted Atkinson was riding the pseudo Man of War. The scene had to be shot 3 or 4 times because Ted kept winning. He wasn't on any great horse either. You don't use stakes horses to practice for motion pictures. But Teddy couldn't hold this one, and it took him 3 or 4 tries before he could get beat. So there were two instances when the best jockeys in the country attempted, with the full blessing of the racing authorities, to hold horses and failed. I knew exactly how they felt, because of Charles. There was, for that matter, Equipoise, which earned vacations for Sonny Workman, who was as strong as a rider as I've ever seen. Equipoise never understood the rules of racing, and he liked to run through horses and butt them with his shoulder and hang them on the fence and that sort of thing. Workman couldn't keep him from doing it, and he got disqualified from three races. Sonny seldom wore a halo in a close finish, but Equipoise was going to win all three of these races without any monkey business, and racking up the contention was his own idea. This doesn't mean a rider has no control of his horse. It does mean that sometimes when a horse stays in or goes out when he shouldn't, the horse thought of it himself, and the jockey went along because it was unsporting to leave him in a huff. That's something that Joe Palmer wrote a few years ago.
That reminds me of Tubby, that horse we had.
What, dear? You weren't on.
Oh, I said that story reminds me of Tubby, that horse we had.
No.
He'd go running and he'd run for about a furlong and he'd say, "Hey, look over there. Oh, I'll be darned. That's somebody in a hat."
Yeah.
And then they'd all go by him and then, "Wait," and I'm going ahead. And then he bumped that, or somebody bumped him, that race he won at Keeneland. Made him mad.
Yeah.
And he took off running. I'm so mad. It's about as
whatever
consistent as nothing.
Yeah, whatever it took. But he was big old. We still got him.
Well, your guests were a lot of fun.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Cute, too.
I'm telling you, I remember her, Jackie,
yeah,
when she was here. She's gotten younger. I mean, she's a pretty girl.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
But she has, honestly, that's why when somebody said, "Oh, there they are," I looked and I thought, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen her since she's been out here, and she looks great.
I guess being married to Dr. Bill Bernard has kept her young.
As opposed to me being married to you. Hey, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking it now.
There you go.
Let me read
one more short one here.
Oh, okay.
And then you want to get back to doing that?
Sure.
Okay. They called him a quitter was the name of this. This one is not as funny as the other one, but it's pretty good. This seems stranger than fiction, and in a way it is, for it concerns the career of an English horse named Humorist, which raced for J.B. Noel about 25 years ago. Humorist was the son of Polymelus from the Oaks winner Jess, and as a two-year-old, he seemed something special. Brownie Carslake, who rode him in the Middle Park Plate, said he was a natural stayer. But at three, Humorist ran old Charles Morton, his trainer, nearly crazy. He would work brilliantly, and then he would be dull as stale beer. It got about that he was moody. He would, or he wouldn't. And that he would go well enough when it wasn't too tough, but lack heart for serious business. Humorist seemed to endorse this in the 2,000 guineas, the big mile race, which is the stepping stone to the Derby. For he was winning easily enough when he suddenly stopped and left Craig in Oran to fight it out with Lemonora. But he won the Derby under the patient hands of Steve Donahue, even then a veteran nearing 40. 2 weeks later, at Ascot, he bled under a work and was sent back to the training grounds at Wattage to recover. A little later, he was found dead in his stall in a pool of blood. An autopsy showed that the hemorrhage which killed Humorist resulted from lung tissue which was degenerating under an advanced and long-standing case of tuberculosis. This is hard to read.
I know. He's crying.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. I can tell.
Anyway.
Your face is red, too.
Well, he had only one lung functioning when he won England's most coveted classic, and even that was not in healthy condition. But somehow he had got himself for that set. This is tough. I should have tried to read this. Somehow he had got himself set for that testing mile and a half journey, and one would rather not imagine the searing pain that the last uphill furlongs cost him. But he won, and it killed him.
How in the world could you read stuff like that? It's just...
It's tough. Those who called him a quitter were somewhat abashed. Some of them for as long as 10 minutes. That's from Joe Palmer.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and...
Joe Palmer was the best.
I guess I better do these. Did I just do those? No, here I am. Well, Leroy DeSantamo, winner of an Eclipse Award, is the sire of Kentucky Derby winner Animal Kingdom. Leroy DeSantamo is sired by Candy Spots. Invisor, winner of the English War, the Eclipse Award, is Horse of the Year, is also by Candy Stripe. Candy Ride, whose stud fee is climbed to $25,000, is a proven Grade 1 sire, is out of a daughter of Candy Stripes. Candy Stripes, one of 92 stakes winners by Sire Sire's Blushing Groom, has sired more than 60 stakes winners, including 11 champions. The best of them all was Invisor, who was rated number one in the world for two consecutive years. He was named Horse of the Year on two continents, was unbeaten in North America and his native South America, won an unprecedented 6 consecutive Grade 1 stakes, won the Breeders' Cup Classic, won the Dubai World Cup, retired with earnings of over $7,804,000. In 2010, he was the third leading freshman sire, won his yearling, sold for an average of over $101,000. Invisor, 20,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Got a new friend in the business around here, and his name is Ron Wallace. And Ron has got a kind of an unusual business. He's been doing it, for quite a few years now. Well, since 1995. How long ago was that, Jackie? 15, 16 years ago? Anyway, he started out, he's a horseman to begin with, but he's got all kinds of degrees. But he started out working with all people like Three Chimneys and Judmont Farm and so forth. But he decided he wanted to go in business for himself, and he started Equine Farm Management. And what he does, he helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms. Now, he will set up take virgin land and set up a complete horse farm for you. He'll come in and advise you on what he can do to make things easier for you. And he's worked with some great people. He can individualize it for each client. And it includes, horse farm design. He can oversee farm construction, maintenance, day-to-day farm management. He's got management experience. As a matter of fact, he'll manage your farm for you and get you all set up and get you rolling and hire your help, make sure you got the proper insurance, everything you need to do it right in the horse business.
You know what I think? I think he found a niche. Like Jackie found a niche for that pharmacy.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just very clever. If you're very good at something and you can figure out where is the need, and you move right in and fill it. That's what he did.
Yeah, he's not only around here. He did Live Oak Stud down in Ocala, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's a nice
Elm Tree Farm over in Paris. He's worked with Paladis Investments up in New York. Farms, you probably know that he's worked with include Summer Wind Farm over right across from old friends over there. One we like, Jackie, that we look at all the time is Hurricane Hills right up here on the Lexington Parish Road.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is a gorgeous place.
And it's set out so well. You can tell from the road that it's well thought out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's the first thing that caught your attention. He does a great job. Equine Farm Management. And let me give you his website. I think it's equinefarmmanagement.com. Doesn't get any better than that. And he's got places. Go to that website and look at some of the properties that he's dealt with. I'll give you a phone number while we're at it. I'll give you a cell number. Call him up and bug him. 621-1655. That's his cell number. And his name is Ron Wallace. Lives down in Midway, as a matter of fact. All righty. Okay. I'll catch up, Jackie. Jackie's got to point out things that I got to do. Carry out the garbage and stuff like that.
Sit down and eat. Drink your vitamins.
well, John Scarsway was the sire of two graded stakes winners last week. That's pretty routine for the two-time champion sire. He sired 99 stakes winners. One of the 99 is the multiple graded stakes winner, Hold Me Back, who's standing his first season at stud this year. Stands at Windstar Farm. Trained by Bill Mott, who described him as a very fluid mover and an imposing individual. Hold Me Back won his very first start as a two-year-old. That was up at Arlington Park. Then he came to Keeneland, and he won his second time out right here at Keeneland in impressive fashion. His first start at 3, he won the Grade 2 Lane's End Stakes. And then he finished second in the Grade 1 Bluegrass and also in the Grade 1 Travers. He beat the likes of Quality Road, Warriors Reward. At four, he shipped into Woodbine and won another graded stakes. That was a grade three Dominion Day handicap. And he retired with earnings of over $872,000. Now, Homie Bag, in addition to being by a champion sire, is out of a daughter of Unbridled Song and a Vowel. Now, a Vowel is a champion three-year-old filly and a champion sprinter. And this is the family of the champions, Tom Fool and Aunt Jenny and a host of others. Here's what you do. Give Robert Hammond a call over at Windstar Farm, 455-1717. You're invited to visit the farm to inspect Homie Back and the other stallions there. And once again, it's Robert Hammond, 455-1717, or check the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. What are you looking at?
Michael left this book here, and even if he left it by mistake, which I think he did, let's not give it back till we read it.
Well, of course not.
It's Saratoga.
Why give it back at all?
It's really got some great pictures. Well, keep it under your hat. We don't have to. He doesn't have to know. Tell him that we got it until we read it, because this is a wonderful book. And he wrote the introduction. Really nice introduction, too.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, let me see it. Talk about our favorite restaurant over there.
Oh, yeah. The Tulip. If y'all remember the Black Tulip, famous Black Tulip over in Midway, Kentucky. Absolutely terrific food. Bill Vandendul's place, and executive chef, Spencer Vandendul, Bill's son. And they have moved it. This is the horticulture moment. They moved over to Romney Road. A lot more people can get to it a lot quicker. It's at 355 Romney Road over in Chevy Chase. It's called The Tulip Bistro and Bar. It's got a bar, and it's got food. The food is delicious. Dinner, Tuesday through Thursday, 5 to 10. Friday and Saturday, 5 to 10:30. It's delicious. It's the food is as good as it was at the Black Tulip. It doesn't get any better than that. And they're so nice. It's a very, very friendly place. Nice people. And they were featured in Lane Report magazine, top 10 restaurants in Lexington. And they are. It's just really good. They've also got a place out front with tables and you can sit out there and count the cars like I do. And just enjoy yourself. It's excellent. And I suggest that you get reservations because the food's, that's how good it is. It's regular local area code 367-6687. Or the website is thetulipbistroandbar.com.
All righty.
Oh.
Are you going to continue? You're looking at me?
Oh, yeah, I am going to continue. It's just this... I don't know what got me so distracted. I don't know. Anyway, well, this weekend and next weekend, the big whoopee-doo horse shows are going on at Kentucky Classic and all that kind of stuff at the horse park. This is a big deal. And then next coming up after that is High Hope, which is a week from tomorrow. So I'm going to tell you, I don't know. This is come on, come off. But tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock at Robbie Lyons Farm, Hartwell Farm, they're having lurcher races. I don't know if it's for the public or not. You go out there and poke your nose in if you want, but that's kind of fun. These are the lurchers that will race during the High Hope Steeplechase.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in the hounds, Woodford hounds, and then they have lurcher races. And I was told if you go to the Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Manager's website and click on, they've got a really nice video about that, which is kind of a fun thing. I didn't have time to check it out myself, but that's something you can do.
Mm.
Thoroughbred Farm Manager, just Google it. You'll find it. And if you're in Midway, stop in and see Peggy Manus, my friend, 846-9343, her photography studio. She does fabulous stuff, especially, I think, her forte is really those dogs. She does the Woodford Humane Society calendar. Anyway, check it out. It's Manus, M-A-N-E-S-S, photography.com. Oh, these shows are AA shows. That's what I was trying to think of. the 11th through the 15th, that's right now, and next week, 18th through the 22nd. Kentucky Horse Council is going to have a KENA, KENA dinner meeting to focus on spring pasture management, May 19th. If you're interested in this, go to KentuckyHorse.org and find out more about it. It's a group of various horse organizations. Now, TOBA is having a breeding clinic, if you're interested, May 27th through the 29th here in Lexington. For more information on that, go to TOBA.org. And our buddies out at Windstar have the most exclusive thoroughbred membership around. Thank you very much. You can become a Windstar stablemate, and you go behind the scenes of a leading thoroughbred operation and receive exclusive updates. How's that?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. You get games and contests and farm. You get to watch the farm cameras. You know, they put cameras up now. Sean Dameron does this. Put cameras up, and it feeds right to your computer or your smartphone, so you can see what's going on all around, and that's part of this Windstar Stablemates. So, it's what a fun thing. Go to WindstarStablemates.com. That's kind of a fun thing, especially for kids. And like I said, Sean's putting up Dameron cams. He's done it for several people. We know it's great. Takes a lot of worry out of not being able to look over your whole place. You can do it and spy on your kids. You can do it at your business, whatever you want to do.
Check up on your wife.
Check up on your wife.
One of his clients.
Full watched from Australia. How cool is that?
Is that right?
Yeah, that is really cool. You can hook into that and watch. That is great. From his phone. He watched his mare foal on his phone, and he was in Australia.
Huh.
That is, boy, Sean's not going to be talking to us
anymore.
Hope
the mare didn't need help.
They were foal watching. They didn't have the foal.
Oh, okay.
They turned foal watching. Oh, Ursel. Jeez. All right. Anyway, give Sean a call. Go to DameronTech.com. Or DameronCams.com. It's 230-6449.
Well, In a Mischief is a grade one stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday, the number one sire of 2011 North American stakes winners. He's got seven. Didn't take In a Mischief long to demonstrate that he was something special. Sprinted 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 to win his first start. Then he ran a mile in the 16th, won 40-4 to take the grade one cash call for Turdy. At the direct expense of Colonel John and some other fine runners. In the Mischief went on at 3 to take the Damascus Stakes, blazing 7 furlongs and 120-1. This after placing both the Grade 1 Malibu and the Grade 2 San Vicente. Out of a stakes-winning mare from a running family, In the Mischief's first foals of yearlings. He stands for $8,500 at Spendthrift Farm. Another young Spendthrift Farm stallion of note, Notional. A multiple graded stakes winner, bred along the same lines as Indian Charlie, both by In Excess from mares that trace back in tail mail to Northern Dancer. Notional was a graded stakes performer every year he raced, 2, 3, and 4. Won graded stakes at Santa Anita, the fairgrounds, and Monmouth Park, and he earned over $733,000. He stands for $7,500, and the fees on both In the Mischief and Notion are not due until the foal stands in nurses. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Feld, or Ned Toffee. Check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I got to talk a little bit about Jim Fitzgerald down at Knott Griffin Farm. This depends on which farm he's on at the moment, either Knott Griffin or Harper's Island, and he owns them both. Knott Griffin, though, is the original place. He's been there for 17 years. That doesn't seem possible, but boy, that's a long time.
Now, he had Knott Griffin over in Brentsville, too. Maybe that includes that.
Knott Griffin over on Brentsville?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. They would drive by.
I used to drag over there, unload the horse, and let him take me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Well, anyway, he still owns one on 460. Well, it's just a mile from the Paris Bypass. Great location, great land. And, he's got a great facility there for whatever you want done. Boarding, sales prep, sales, public or private sales, doesn't make any difference. Rehab, you name it, they do it. Quality farm help there. And if you're just in the horse business, you're not too happy or thinking about getting into the horse business, Jim can give you just some good, sound, common sense advice. And he's somebody you can trust, and that's a big thing in the horse business. His great background, Irish National Stud grad, came up under Dr. Michael Osmond, under John Williams over at Spendthrift, the Lee Eaton, then three of the world's finest horsemen right there. Here's how you get in touch with him. Here's his phone number, 987-8032, and here's his website. It's Knock Griffin, Knockgriffin, farm.com. All right, Jackie, you got
it. I just have one last thing. You know, they have 5 cross-country schooling days at the horse park, and tomorrow is one of them. It's the first. And good luck to them.
Boy, it's a dreary-looking day out there.
It just started raining again.
Oh, boy, it's pouring down
and
here.
Now they're gonna, and people wait to do this. Because normally you can't ride anywhere except if you go to a horse show or something at the horse park.
Yeah.
And this one lets you ride everywhere except the steeplechase course.
Yeah. Well, I'll go and watch the races. We're running to Peter Pan today.
Yeah.
Up in New York, you know. Peter Pan, in case you weren't there when he foaled in 1904.
Oh, I was busy. I didn't have my smartphone.
Oh, did you?
That's what happened.
Well, he lived to be, he didn't die until 1933, so he was 29 years old.
Still miss me.
He was by commando.
Got you, though.
Yes, he did. He was by commando out of Cinderella by Hermit. And now that's not the same Cinderella, incidentally, who was the dam of Hastings. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did, but they're two different mares. This one, Peter Pan, bred by James R. Keene over at Castleton Farm. And, of course, Commando was by Domino. Domino just sired 20 foals before he died. He was 6 years old when he died. And Colin just sired...
Really?
He just sired 27 foals. And he was 7 years old when he died. He got a gravel and died of tetanus.
You're kidding.
That's what happened to Commando, yeah. But, you know, he sired some good ones. Colin, of course, undefeated, Belmont Stakes winner. And Colin was a shy breeder. Celt, or Celt, however you want to say it. If you're Irish, you say Celt. If you're a hillbilly like me, you say Celt. And he was a horse of the year and a champion sire in 1921. And Peter Pan, of course, won the Belmont Stakes and was a champion 3-year-old. He was a great sire. Sired Prudery, Trister, Vexatious, 3 champions right there. Pennant, who was a very good sire. He won the Futurity, and he was the sire of Equipoise, which that's an Equipoise buried right over here on Gainesway in the old C.B. Whitney graveyard. Regrets buried over there, too. Top Flight. Is buried there. Yeah. I'd love to get back over there, you know. I don't know if they let me on. They'd probably shoot me for trespassing. But anyway, I'd like to go over there.
They got some fox over there.
Yes, they do. Great horses traced back to him, you know. Derby winners, shut out by Equipoise. Let's see who else. Stymie, Maud Mueller, the Preakness winner in Dauber, Outer Space, Carry Back, traces back to Peter Pan. Well, anyway. All righty, well... We did pretty good at the training center. Where in the hell are my stats?
While you're looking for your stats, this will be up on UrsulaEllis.com in a day or so, whenever I can get a hold of Sean Dameron, who helps me with all things computer.
We've had 13 winners in the last week. I don't know if I forgot that. How much time have I got left?
30 seconds.
All right. And who saddled those winners? Those 13 winners are Kellen Gorder, Eduardo Cuttle, Maury, Matt Frazier, Scooter Hughes with 2, Brenda Hill, Kellen Gorder again, Akiko Gothard with 3, Bobby Sturgeon, Amalio Paul Garcia, he told me, John Booker, and Tommy Mills. And they all train here. And we've had 20 winners in 13 days.
And next week you can get this show on your iPod.
WLXG.com.
And you can get it anywhere in the world, including China, and they're asleep.
Next week?
Yeah. Well, it's a little late to tune in today.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Bye.